all of you out there in Radioland. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device stays locked onto our website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington so very special. Our Town profiles people from all walks of life, from firefighters to foodies, bus drivers to baristas, and even the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. 2 full years into the pandemic, and where are we? The fights are increasingly bitter, symbolized by the anti-vaxxers and those too afraid to venture out almost anywhere. The rest of us just shake our heads and wonder. On one level, it seems like life in Jefferson County goes on pretty much the same. There's still the deer, the otter, even the magnificent soaring eagles. On the other hand, many relationships have been shattered and some will never recover. There are many bitter arguments within families over parents who refuse to vaccinate their children and the vulnerable grandparents who then are cut off from visiting those kids. Then there are marriages or partnerships that won't weather this storm. It seems like too much togetherness could be a bad thing. Not everyone can be together 24/7. Some people need the stimulation of going out with friends, attending sports or theater, or just meeting someone new, someone who has an interesting story to tell. Well, here we are, riding to the rescue in our own small way. This show has a mission. That mission is to introduce our listeners to some of the fascinating people who live around here. Our town is a way to meet new people, even if it feels like we've been confined to quarters for a very, very long time. My guest today is Becky Steffens, who's one of the dedicated team of physical therapists at Jefferson Healthcare. But before we get to what she's doing at Jefferson Healthcare, let's take a few minutes to get to know her. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Okay, I always start sort of at the beginning. Are you a local girl, born and bred here in Jefferson County?
I am not local. I'm originally from a very small town in northeast Iowa called El Dorado, Iowa. A little village of about 100 people. So when I say rural, I mean rural.
Yeah. I mean, that makes Port Townsend feel like a metropolis.
Sometimes.
Okay, so what'd your folks do?
My dad, for most of his life, was a mechanic and then spent the last 10 years being a milk hauler. So going to the farm, picking up the milk and going to the creamery. And my mother has worked as an administrative assistant for NRCS, which is Natural Resource Conservation Service, for pretty much last 30, 40 years of her career.
Okay. And are you an only child?
No, I have 2 older brothers. So I'm the baby girl.
The baby of the family. Wow. Okay. And so what did your brothers end up doing?
Both my brothers ended up in agriculture. They both still live in northeast Iowa. My oldest brother owns a company called Agronomic Solutions. He does like soil sampling for farmers and co-ops in the area. And my second brother manages a feed co-op in Iowa.
And so where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school. It's called North Fayette. It's in West Union, Iowa, which is about 8 miles from where I grew up. And like many small towns have had to do, it's kind of a conglomeration of about 4 or 5 towns put together to make one school.
And how big was your class?
About, I think I graduated with 80, 88 people.
That's relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually kids sort of put a stamp on everyone. They say, you know, he's a nerd, she's a jock, he's a band geek, whatever. What do you think they labeled you as?
I think I kind of had all the labels. I did all the things in high school. And when you're from a small town, I think that's good because you can explore all those avenues. I did a lot of sports in high school. I was in band. I played the clarinet and saxophone. I was in FFA, Future Farmers of America. I was in student council, so it gave me the opportunity to do everything, which I really enjoyed. I was very busy.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You're fairly tall. You're 6 feet tall, you told me.
Mm-hmm.
And what sports did you play?
The usuals. I played basketball and volleyball were the sports I enjoyed the most, and then a few years of softball, and then I threw shot put and discus in track.
Wow, that's a lot. Okay, so your whole family is in agriculture-related businesses.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Is that something you thought about doing?
I never thought about doing it. I mean, I was part of it growing up, and I helped when I could on the farm. I, like I said, I was an FFA. I showed cows at the county fair when I was growing up, but I never foresaw a career in agriculture. I think I always knew from a young age I wanted to go into the healthcare field.
Hmm. Why do you think that is? Why healthcare?
I really don't know. I was trying to think about it, and I think a lot of my life was spent like volunteering in my church, in my community. That was always a big part of my life in mm-hmm. my childhood. And so maybe it was just that act of service and helping others. And I also really love science. So it was just kind of a good partnership of both of those things.
When you were growing up, was it the kind of house where your parents sort of expected all of you to go to college?
It was. I don't remember them ever like sitting us down and saying, you're going to go to college. It was just kind of an unspoken thing that you're going to kind of quote unquote do better than us, and you're going to further your education and have a good job.
Okay, so where'd you end up going?
For my undergraduate degree, I went to the University of Iowa in Iowa City, Iowa. And then for graduate school, I went to Clark University in Dubuque, Iowa.
Okay. And undergraduate, what did you major in there?
I majored in integrative physiology, which is, can't really get a job. You kind of have to go to a grad program after it, but kind of get all the basic medical field knowledge going.
Why did you decide on physical therapy versus nursing or being a doctor? There are many avenues in medicine. What attracted you to physical therapy?
Pretty much through high school and college, I was a CNA, a nursing assistant. And so that kind of got my toe into the field of the medical field. And from that, I knew I didn't really want to be a nurse or a nursing assistant, just based on their job duties. And I think it was there, working in the nursing homes, I saw some of the physical therapists working with the patients and helping them walk and helping them be able to stand and move again. And I think that sparked my interest. I liked physical therapy because you get to spend time with the people you're working with and hopefully make maybe a little bit more of an impact versus just a short period.
Okay, well, you know, I was quite surprised of the educational requirements for a physical therapist. I had no idea. I mean, and maybe a lot of our listeners know more than I did, but anyway, basically, physical therapists today have to have the equivalent of a doctorate, right?
Yeah, you get your clinical doctorate in physical therapy. The push kind of came, I think, starting in 2005, and by 2016, I believe, all programs you had to be getting your doctorate in. I think the push was, one of the pushes was so that we could have direct access, so patients could directly come and see us instead of going to their doctor to get a referral. They could come directly to us. And so with that, we needed a little more general knowledge of medications, radiology, psychology, so that we could just treat our patients and be that direct person they go see.
Well, so in order to be a physical therapist, you have to have 4 years of undergraduate plus 3 years of graduate school. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
There are a few programs that merge them so that you can do it in 6 years.
Okay. And is this is a state level or national?
National level.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So all of the states have the same requirements.
Correct.
Interesting. So can you just discuss briefly, you know, one or two classes on the graduate level that you took that were tough and yeah, hurdles really to get through? I sure can't be easy, all of it.
No. And probably the classes I've had to study the most in my life for, I'm thinking neuroanatomy was really hard, just learning the brain and all the different parts and the functions. That took a lot of study and intense dedication to learn.
Neuroanatomy, wow. That's a mouthful.
It is. So really just learning about the brain and, yeah, what centers run what parts of your body.
Interesting.
I know pharmacology was added to the doctorate program, so just learning the medications and interactions and how that impacts the body as well. While physical therapists can't prescribe medications, they still impact our body. So especially with direct access, if you're coming to me, I need to know how that's going to impact you.
So you can't prescribe medications for people, but I presume as part of Jefferson Healthcare or whatever institution you're with, you have access to the patient's records so you can see what medications they are taking.
Correct. Yeah.
And I suppose you can talk to the patients about their medications.
Yeah, yeah. If I think it's impacting them, sure. I mean, sometimes medications can cause dizziness, for example. So that could be a factor if they're seeing me for that. Some medications can cause some like joint achiness and pain. So just kind of knowing that information and looking at their medication list might impact how I proceed to work with them.
Okay. Now, another issue in your field, as in other medical fields, is that relatively few people are admitted to these programs. And, you know, there aren't a lot of graduates. Didn't you tell me what was the number of people in your class?
There's only 30 people in my PT program.
That's not very many.
It's very competitive. It's very competitive to get in. One of those hundreds of people apply and only a handful get in.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So in terms of graduate school, do you just apply in general to be a physical therapist, or are there certain avenues?
In school, it's just a physical therapist. You get the basic degree and you have to pass a board exam. That's a national board exam. And then you're a physical therapist and you can pretty much work in any setting at that point. And then it's up to the individual therapist what setting they would like to work in, whether that be a school or a hospital or a nursing home.
Okay. So when did you graduate?
I graduated in 2015.
Okay. And did you have it all put together in your head where you wanted to go with this degree, what you wanted to do?
Not entirely. I chose to become a traveling physical therapist and be able to explore a little bit and work in different therapy settings to really discover what I like to do.
So part of it, I suppose, was to see something outside of Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like you said, I was born and raised and went to school for the first 25, 6 years of my life. And so at that point, I had heard about travel physical therapy and saw it as an opportunity to kind of get paid to travel in a sense. So
explain what you mean by travel physical therapy.
So basically, it's kind of short periods of time, typically 3 to 6 months, and I can go to different states or locations and just work for that short period of time and then move on to the next place. And maybe you're covering a maternity leave, maybe you're just covering because they can't fill a position. Could be for a variety of reasons. They're just looking for help. And
okay. What was the first one you had outside graduate school?
After grad school, I went to Hutchinson, Kansas.
Okay.
Not too far from Iowa. Didn't want to venture too far away just to give it a try.
Right.
That was at a community hospital, and I worked at it in the inpatient floors.
And when you're on these short gigs, do they pay for your living arrangements? Do they rent you an apartment, or do you stay in a hotel? How does it work?
Kind of either or. I always chose to take a housing stipend and a food stipend, and then I would try to, you know, spend less than that stipend was given.
Yeah,
good plan. Save a little money and make more money. So that's kind of how it works. You get your hourly pay and then those food and housing stipends.
Okay, so how long were you in Hutchinson, Kansas?
I did stay for that one about 7 months, just because it was going well. I liked the people, and like I said, that's a first job, so it was a good experience.
And next?
Next, I went to Pendleton, Oregon.
Mm.
So I decided to go to the West Coast.
Yes.
first time over the mountains. So that was exciting. And that was also at a small critical access hospital, very similar to Port Townsend in a lot of ways. But I also worked inpatient there.
So what was your impression of the West coming out of all those years of the Midwest?
I mean, I obviously liked it because I'm here I am now living in Port Townsend. I loved it. I spent many weekends in Oregon just going to explore. I'd go to the coast, I'd go to the mountains, I'd go along the gorge. It was just so beautiful and diverse compared to where I'm from in the Midwest, where it's relatively flat and farmland.
Yeah.
I was just amazed by everything.
That's great. Okay, so you hit Oregon next.
Mm-hmm. After that, I went to Port Townsend. So I came here for the first time in 2016. I think I got here right as the Wooden Boat Festival was happening, like that weekend.
Wow.
It was beautiful, and I could definitely just remember coming down the main road, and it was a beautiful, clear summer day where the mountains were out, and the ocean was beautiful, and
all the boats were in the harbor.
It was beautiful. I just remember it being beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. And how long were you here for the first exposure?
6 months. 6 months, and then after that, I think I decided to switch coasts, and I drove across the country and did a job in Virginia.
Okay, but I don't want to go job by job, but just drop the names of a couple other places you were.
Sounds good. Tucson, Arizona. I did a job in New Hampshire. I did went back to Iowa a few times in there and worked for a little bit, saw my family, and then right. I'd go on. So I ended up coming back to Port Townsend about three different times. So I came in 2016, came in 2018, and then I came back in March of 2020.
So why did you decide you wanted to be in Port Townsend?
So after I traveled for, that was about 5 years right. of all that traveling, crisscrossing the country right, and going right. places. And I discovered, you know, reflecting back, I kind of always kept returning to the West Coast. I kept returning to Washington. So clearly I liked it out here. Mm-hmm. And this is, I met a lot of good people, a lot of good friends on the first two times I was here. So it just kind of seemed like a natural place to come back to and just start enjoying it.
Okay. And so you applied, and you just told me that you actually started in March of 2020. That's not particularly an auspicious date.
It's not a good time to be traveling and starting a new job. Yeah. And I came back as still as a traveler at that time in March of 2020. However, like that was the week everything, the pandemic started. And so they had to cancel my contract. So
wow.
I was able to work for a few weeks and then they had to let me go. So, but I had already rented an apartment here and had moved across the country again. So I just stayed in town. And
what did you do?
Kind of just made the most of it. I was happy to be back out here. So it gave me time to like just be outdoors a little bit. I started volunteering at a local food bank because they were in desperate need of volunteers at that time because a lot of their volunteers are elderly yeah. people that didn't feel comfortable leaving at that time.
Right.
So they were very happy to help me or to have me. And I did a lot of work for them. So that filled my day, and that was good.
And so when did you actually take a job with Jefferson Healthcare?
I was able to go back in June of 2020. So
that's
it's off
good.
Work for about 3 months. So
it's not bad.
Not terrible.
Yeah. A lot of people had much more stories.
Oh, I feel very fortunate. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very, very fortunate.
Okay. All right. And so now you're on staff at Jefferson Healthcare, and many of our listeners haven't had physical therapy. They don't really know what the facilities are or the capacity that you have. So can you just give us a broad overview of how large the department is?
We have a lot of therapists. We have about 20 physical therapists now, about three occupational therapists, and two to three speech therapists. We have a lot of people. We don't necessarily have a huge facility. We keep vying for more space, and we should get more space soon, I think. And we've stayed busy, you know, again, right at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people stopped coming, rightfully so. But I'd say back in June when I started, we started picking back up again, and people don't stop having strokes and don't stop having back pain because of a pandemic. So we've stayed quite busy.
Hmm. Okay. And in terms of what sort of clients you have, what are the range? What I seem to understand, I hope I'm right, is the therapists there, aside from speech and a couple of them, don't specialize in just one thing, like all strokes or something like mm-hmm. that. It's across the board. So explain a little bit about that, what you might do.
Yeah, I mean, all the physical therapists there, we're all pretty generalized. We all have areas that we like to work in and maybe know a little bit more in, but we can work really with anybody. So we can see any orthopedic injuries, neck pain, shoulder pain, back or knee pain, any of that. We can see people for just general gait and balance, vertigo. We can see people for any of the neurological diseases. Maybe they have had a stroke or they have Parkinson's disease or multiple sclerosis. So we really have a wide, wide variety of people that we can see and hopefully help.
Yeah. So in a given day, roughly how many patients might you or any of the others have?
One thing we are really fortunate here is we get about an hour per person,
right?
Which again is kind of unheard of in the medical field these days. So I see on average 8 people a day, and that's one of the best things I like working about Jefferson is the fact that we get an hour. That's not universal across physical therapy jobs.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you work, it just depends on the place. Sometimes you only get a half hour. Sometimes you're required to see 2 people at once, and the jobs become a little bit more stressful, as you can imagine.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I really enjoy working here, where I actually get time to again spend time with people, get to know them, And I think that's where I see the physical therapy profession going, having more time to educate people and spend time with them, let them ask questions of us, and helping them understand.
Well, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, physical therapy was not universally recommended. In fact, people used to hang out in hospitals for longer, and doctors would say, you know, you need to rest, Mrs. Jones. Don't move your arm, leg, or whatever. But that has changed. Now it's get people out of bed immediately, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we try to get them up and moving, at least out of bed as soon as we can after whatever has happened. I think more and more we've discovered that pretty much for every day you spend in the hospital, it's 3 days minimum to recover and get that strength back. So it makes sense that if we can get them out and moving a little faster, then they're going to recover and be able to get back to their daily life that much faster.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. You know, a lot of young people accumulate quite a bit of debt to go to school. And you just went through, well, not just went through a long stretch, but are you still suffering from a debt load?
I am indeed. Yes, I did pay through for undergrad and graduate school pretty much all via student loans, a few scholarships, but pretty much bulk through student loans. That is another reason I chose to become a travel physical therapist, because you tend to make a little bit more money, and or I think your just cost of living is a little bit less, because I don't have a home and all the expenses that go with that. So I've chosen to be very aggressive. So I have paid off a lot and hope to be out of debt within the next year and a half.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you mentioned having a home, and that brings up an issue. Port Townsend is notorious in the lack of housing. How did you do? Are you okay in finding a place?
I am okay now. It was also still a struggle. Again, I've been here about a year and a half permanently now, and I've moved 3 different times before I could find a place. It was hard. And yeah, even as a young professional who makes a relatively decent income, I still couldn't afford a lot of the places. And I luckily found a nice 2-bedroom apartment that I can afford, but pretty much via word of mouth, which is also one of the problems here, that you have to do everything kind of word of mouth.
Yeah.
Is where you get the best deals.
That's what I've heard. So. But you're settled now in a place that you like, right?
Yes. And as my family, I have things I like, and I actually have furniture now, which was a big deal. My family always joked at me that I was over 30 and like didn't own towels and didn't own plates and such. So I now own a lot of things.
Okay. Well, you're single, and, you know, you came to Port Townsend. I guess, though, you would know some people when you came, because you had been here before.
Yeah, I was very fortunate, yeah.
Because the pandemic sort of shut down the social scene.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, it would have been really hard and lonely had I not known anybody. But, yeah, thankfully, I had a lot of coworkers that were already friends, and we really rallied around each other, and they knew I needed help. I didn't have the social outlet there for a couple months, and we kind of started. We had our Friday night dinners, we'd call them. We had the COVID five that we would meet every Friday night and have a bottle of wine and dinner and just have that little social interaction. So very grateful
for
that.
Everyone needs that sort of thing in their life, and it's been rough for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad I already knew people, like you said, that I didn't have to come to a brand new town and not know anybody, because I did that for many years. I would go to a new town and not know anybody and have to try to make friends. So
yeah.
Glad I was here.
I guess that makes you sort of gregarious if by force, right?
Yeah, you have to. You definitely have to. And yeah, when you move to a new city, I would just say, yeah, look around, try to do new things, try to join a club, try to join a class, because yeah, you kind of have to force yourself to meet people.
Right. So have you been doing some new things since you got here?
A few new things. I signed up for some photography classes. I do that. I learned how to row last summer, so that was new and exciting. I was happy to kind of get back into some team sport activities. Mm-hmm. That was exciting, and I'll do that again this summer.
Okay. And you're also studying for some certificates, or you already have one, right? Explain that.
Yeah, so in physical therapy, you can kind of specialize, like you kind of mentioned, in a few areas. I really enjoy the neuro side of things, so I really enjoy working with people that have strokes or Parkinson's or such. So I recently became, it's called POWER, Parkinson's Wellness Recovery. I just got that certification, so I enjoy working with people like that.
Explain a little bit what strategies you can use for Parkinson's people.
It's a lot of working on like bigger movements and louder movements. Often with people with Parkinson's, they kind of, everything becomes smaller. Their voice gets softer, their writing becomes smaller. Same thing happens with their walk. It becomes like a smaller, shorter walk. So oftentimes we're trying to do more exaggerated movements and motions. That's kind of the general way to describe it.
Okay. And I don't know if this is happening right now, but there was a class or a course up there for called Dance with Parkinson's.
Yeah. The Wellness Center is still closed, and we really have our fingers crossed that this summer, well, spring, summer, depending on how the pandemic continues to pan out, but we really are hopeful that we'll be able to open classes back up for the community. And yeah, I hope to have my own Parkinson's class there.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one you've already got, and you're studying something else as well?
I just took a course to be a clinical instructor, so I'll be able to start teaching and having some students work with me to help the profession a little bit.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry, you're a busy girl.
Tried to be.
That's for sure. Okay, well, we're running short on time, but, you know, tell me just very briefly, what is it you like about Port Townsend?
I think I like all the general things. I love the mountains and the ocean. Being a small town girl from Iowa, I had never seen that stuff before, so I really continue to enjoy that. I do enjoy working with the population here. I love the retired community is so active, and they're always learning and moving. And I hadn't known that the older population could do that. In the Midwest, I feel like people just kind of retire and their life is kind of somewhat over. But here, I feel like the retired community strives to do more and tries to continue to better themselves. And I really, really loved that philosophy on life.
That's great. I think you're right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We're out of time. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Mary Ann McNellis. My guest today has been Becky Steffens, who's a physical therapist at Jefferson Healthcare. I also want to thank Taylor Clark, the editor and producer of Our Town. Many of you don't realize how important the role of an editor is on a show like this. He can edit out our mumbles and ums and errs, make us sound so eloquent and smooth. I also want to thank you, the listener. Thank you for sticking with KPTZ during these troubled times. We're limping through the pandemic together. Hopefully, we're beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Meanwhile, keep listening to KPTZ. We're a community radio station by and for the people of Jefferson County. Everyone who works here is a volunteer. We give our time because we feel that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need more volunteers so we can make the station stronger. We also need more donations to keep afloat. We really do hope to move to Fort Worden at a new studio with soundproofing. It will be wonderful. It may happen, but we will miss our beloved trailer in the parking lot of Mountain View School. So listeners, stay safe and healthy. The show is called Our Town. I'm Mary Ann McNellis, signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production, created by Mary Ann McNellis and edited by Taylor Clark.
Went fast, right?
It did go fast, much faster than I was anticipating it to go. So that's good.